Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic-butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Hello everyone, welcome to Table Manners. I'm here with my lovely daughter Jessie.
Hello Mum.
Hi darling.
Sorry, is this how it's going to go now?
Yep.
You're leading this
because I could not be more excited.
Pray do tell the listener Mum.
I have followed this person's column for almost 20 years. She's so clever, she's so funny, she's so insightful and so incisive. I hope she likes us, Jessie, because if we appear in her column tomorrow, we'll be in trouble.
This is like where you really...
Watch our P's and Q's,
hold
darling.
Your own. Like, you are going to nail it, Mum. I'm proud
of
you.
Well, we have got the fabulous, fantastic, clever Marina Hyde. And she's going to have something to eat with us. And I think she's going to talk about a new book. What Just Happened? Dispatches from Turbulent Times.
It's a huge book made up of, I wonder whether it's her favourite column moments. It's got chapters on the royal family.
Well, there's a very big section on Boris Johnson. You won't be surprised to know. I mean, there's a lot around the time of the pandemic. There's a lot about footballers. She loves football, you know that.
Yeah, I know
she
that.
Writes football. And I agree with Phoebe Waller-Bridge.
Thank fuck for Marina Hyde, yeah. Is the quote on the front.
Yeah.
We've got Marina Hyde coming up. This is somebody that Mum has been desperate to have forever. My mother-in-law bought this for me for Christmas, actually.
Did she?
Yeah.
She makes you laugh out loud. Every day.
She's so razor sharp.
So sharp.
What are you cooking, Mum?
Well, because we're still madly in love with Alison Roman, I've done her spatchcock chicken.
Yeah, the one that she recommended to do.
With paprika and lemon. Long schlep round the houses to get a spatchcock chicken.
Where did you find it?
From Moen's in the end. I've done rainbow chard and actually rainbow carrots and some smashed potatoes that I'm going to put some of the juice from the chicken on the top. That's what she recommends, and bakes it off slightly.
Oh, yum.
So it tastes nice, yeah. Then, as a tribute to my lovely friend Anne, who made it yesterday because I had people for lunch, I've made Nigella's olive oil and chocolate cake.
Yum.
Got some nice ice cream or mascarpone or even sour cream. I've got creme fraiche. Got fresh cream, got sour cream, and I've got raspberries to go with it. I think we'll be all right.
Okay, so we had a really interesting email from one of the listeners, and I feel like it's important to share this because it's a safe space and we love getting messages. So this was an email. It's subject, just a quick one, which I really hope you get. So this is very important, obviously. Hi ladies, I just wanted to say that I love listening to your show, thank you very much. Your interview with Danny Minogue was great this week. I'm from Australia, so it was nice to hear the Aussie accent. Brilliant, so far so good. I need to tell you that I have a totally weird obsession with your podcast, thanks, and that is I love hearing you all talk with your mouths full. I don't know what it is, and people shouldn't talk with their mouths full. Do we talk with our mouths full?
I think you do sometimes, Jess.
Oh, my God.
I think I don't, because I'm lady-like.
Okay, well, this lady Jenny loves it. I don't know what it is, and people shouldn't talk with their mouths full, but for some strange reason, I'm obsessed with it. This is where it gets really juicy, guys. And we'll re-listen to interviews where I know the chewing is loudest. Yotam, Tom Kerridge, Nigella and Jamie Oliver, to name a few. They're all chefs.
Are they the ones that are chewing?
We need to get confirmation on this, Jenny. Is it us chewing the loudest or is it all chefs that chew the loudest?
It's us chewing. It must be them.
I'm not sure if you'll get this. No, we got it loud and clear, Jenny. But I really hope you do. And please don't stop talking with your mouths full. Love to you both, Jenny. Jenny, thank you. This is by far the strangest email we've had. And I don't know whether our other listeners would agree. And poor Alice, the producer, is so bereft with the fact that chewing and mouths full has even been caught because she tries so hard to take it off. So I now am quite intrigued.
So
about...
we shouldn't wait, Pete, for people. We'll just get cracking, eat right the way through the whole thing. Yeah.
Is this called ASMR? And maybe we could do a Filthy Friday ep for everybody just with all the chewing and masticating.
On that note, I'm going to baste my chicken.
Ooh, Lenny. Marina Hyde coming up on Table Manners. Marina, you are in Clapham. You've
thrilled.
Got the seat next to Lenny.
I am actually in pride of place
honestly.
Here.
Honestly.
You don't know what a big deal it is for us.
I think it's a little bit of a bigger one for me.
Thank
you very much, girl.
Don't think so. We've been so excited. Well, I have the... because I've always followed your column, so...
Very kind. Yeah, don't read any of that nonsense, but thank you.
No, but I love it. And, well, I'm just going to get this out of the way. I was particularly touched last week about that column about the postal worker.
Oh, my God, I keep writing about the post office. But it's the biggest thing. It's the biggest scandal. And people just can't believe it when you tell them the story.
Tell the listeners the
story.
The story
of the post office, which I hope more and more people everyone should know, was that there was sub-postmasters and postmistresses,
post office.
Yeah. I mean, backbone of Britain kind of people. A new system was imposed on them in the sort of noughties by the post office central management and created by Fujitsu that was faulty. But they didn't believe the post people when they kept saying that there's a fault. They kept making them pay back out of their own pocket or threaten them to prosecute. And in the end, because it kept going wrong, and they knew because they had so many people ringing in saying, I'm sorry, I mean, you know, I've never been wrong with my accounts ever before. Mm. And of course I haven't stolen £25,000. They prosecuted so many of them, 726
people were prosecuted.
So instead of listening...
But convicted.
And convicted.
And people were sent to prison.
Like a lady had a baby in prison.
She was sentenced on her son's 10th birthday. She never thought she'd get custodial. She was sentenced. She went to Ashfield, which is really rough. On her son's 10th birthday, she had to be pulled out of the courtroom and taken.
God.
Put straight onto suicide watch. While she was there, she found a hanged body of a prisoner. Terrible things happened within the prison.
She was right. And
she was
completely innocent.
So what's
happening? They were all completely innocent.
Well, nothing.
They're not. There is an inquiry. Glacial pace of British justice. It's not even really actually a sort of proper public inquiry that's compelled to bring certain witnesses. And the CEO of the post office while all of this is happening was a woman called Paula Venables, who has yet to appear in front of the inquiry.
And wasn't she elevated? Was it?
She continued to fail upwards. You know, these people, she was given a CBE. Yeah. She was brought into some sort of number 10 kitchen business cabinet. She just continued. She was an Anglican minister. She's now had to step back from all these things. But it's the most horrendous story.
Seven people killed themselves.
So, 60 are dead before they've ever seen justice served. At least four have killed
themselves.
Because
they must feel like they're going mad. Also the frustration.
But also, and these tiny towns where these post offices were shut down.
Yeah.
And they've never had a post office since.
Yeah, I remember.
Because they had to
go
because they said that she'd stolen money.
It's the most extraordinary story, and everyone should be shouting for the rooftops. If you have to think that if they trust computers over humans, then this is the sort of thing that really could happen if the system and the people who wanted not to say it was their own fault allowed these people to have, I mean, the most awful stories of imprisonment, 19-year-olds in prison. I mean, just absolutely
just
dreadful what happened to them.
I mean, yeah, but it was such a good piece. I mean, normally everything you write makes me laugh, but that was so important.
I mean, there
really
aren't that many jokes, are there? And I have done it before and I will keep doing it and I will try and go to the inquiry.
How is writing at the moment? Is it kind of...
It's been a very rich vein for you, Marina. Really? Come on.
Lenny, I've been drowning in material.
Like,
I mean, about 8 years now.
The whole government, the pandemic, the mismanagement.
So even though it's been Brexit, misfortune for us,
it's excellent for your column.
It's been good for business. Yeah. I don't mean actual business.
No, of course, just
my business.
Yeah, yeah, of course.
But I mean, I would certainly sacrifice all that if we could just return to an even keel for sort of, you know, 15 minutes, I think we'd take it, wouldn't we?
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, in the old days, you used to, like, ignore the news for about 2 weeks. And then if you check back in with it, it'd be a little bit like Coronation Street. You missed a few episodes, but you still know what's happening. And now I used to feel like, I mean, I don't understand anything. I've had to go under for a small surgery for 2 hours and now I don't understand anything. This is what happened after Brexit. It just continually, there were about 4 news cycles a day and everything went crazy. And the same happened in America. And I think it's quite hard to see how things become, this is such an awful word, but sort of sane again. But I think it's quite hard to see how things become, you know, something you can ignore for 2 weeks again.
But strangely, Liz Truss was still smiling at the coronation.
How did she get to it?
She wished to be. She'll be there forever, Jessie, at every event, at the Cenotaph every year.
Yeah, because she was a prime minister.
For 15 minutes.
Someone said it's like when your sister gets married and you bring a girlfriend and she's in all the photographs and then you dump her. And the most important day of your sister's life, and there's the old girlfriend that you don't like.
I've got the other way, my lovely mother-in-law, who, you know, I love dearly, didn't allow me in any of the wedding photos of her and her husband, my lovely father-in-law. This was 20 years ago because she didn't think I was going to stick around. Well, I'm still here, Tess. Still here and I love you. And she bought me your book. So we do love her.
Yes. Tess,
but, we love you. Yeah. I wonder if you could be late. I mean, you could. For one of the sort of big anniversaries, have yourself
Why not?
I mean, why not? We bought each other everything by this stage. If you're anything like our family, we bought each other everything by this stage in our lives. So
totally.
You have to come up with a new present.
Let's talk about family. Where do you live now? Are you in London?
I live in Notting Hill with all the other arseholes. And I've lived there for, oh gosh, I mean, really so long now. More than 25 years.
I'm jealous of you. I cycled there yesterday. But I cycled there yesterday. It's idyllic.
I mean, it's really
gorgeous.
Lovely.
And
I feel like a tourist when I'm there.
Yeah. I'm really near the park and it's lovely. But yes, I mean, it has become, in the length of time that we have lived there, it's because, you know, I mean, like a lot of pubs shut down, I think, because people had private chefs. But I think perhaps more of them are opening now. But anyway, it is lovely. Yes.
So where are some of your top spots that you will eat out when you're not having a private chef at home?
Oh, well, I tell you what.
Joke.
Let me think. Okay, when I'm not having, exactly. No, I am the private chef at home. I do all the cooking. So, my ones I love to go to. I love to go to Fisher's. I love a schnitzel. So
schnitzel's
my favourite.
Yeah.
I mean, if we get onto Last Supper's, it's going to have a number of entries. Schnitzel's my favourite. So I love to go to Fisher's.
Fisher's in Marylebone.
In Marylebone, which I love.
There's you feel really, like you're abroad as well.
Yes, so you do.
It feels continental.
Yeah, it's got a Viennese feel, hasn't it? I mean, it wasn't very like that in Vienna when I went, but it's like a sort of Disney version of Vienna.
Do you think you could serve schnitzel for brunch?
Yeah.
You can serve it at any...
Yeah, with an egg on top.
Yeah.
Yeah. The Holstein.
The Holstein, yeah. How do you take your schnitzel, Marina Hyde?
I will take it all sorts of ways, and I make it all sorts of ways.
Yeah.
Ultimately, I would like a Wiener with the gravy, you know, whatever the gravy is, the nice one. Not, I don't want to have the lingonberry or whatever it is, the gravy on the side, but all to go
I've
all
over.
I've
never had a gravy.
Oh my gosh, the gravy is really...
The one at Fisher's.
The one that they do.
Do you do fresh breadcrumbs or do you use panko?
I do matzo sometimes. Matzo is... I do a lot. Medium matzo.
And you're not a Jew, are you?
I'm not a Jew.
But that's quite unusual for a non-Jew use matzo meal.
But it's very good.
Is it matzo meal that you're using?
Yeah, medium.
Okay.
Or I do panko, then I do basically like katsus and things like that. Or you can do Milanese with that, with all the, you know, with the parmesan. Or what else do I do? Oh, yeah, there's a really good Ostiolenghi one that's just like about a million different seeds, which I feel is doing me the power of good.
That is delicious.
That's a really good one in the so-called simple book.
Yeah, yeah. But you know why it's called Ostiolenghi's simple, because it's simple for him.
I love it. And what else? What other versions of it do
bloody
I can't
hell,
even remember?
You love a breaded chick.
Yeah, I know, but it's really. I mean, I just we have a version of schnitzel once a week in our house.
So do your children eat it?
They love it.
How old are your kids?
They love it. 12. 10 and 8.
Okay, so you're
I came from 3, so I felt
that's
I had
what
to have.
I did too.
Yeah. I feel I have to have 3.
And do they all eat well?
Yeah, they're all great eaters.
Have they always been?
Yeah, they have been pretty good. Yeah, they have been. I mean, I did sort of make them get on with it, and you know, maybe that's wrong.
Get some tips. Maybe
that's wrong. I did what was done with me, which is you kind of had to finish it up.
Well, Sam, my husband's doing pancake night because it's a Tuesday. I mean, it's definitely not Shrove Tuesday. He's doing that tonight.
Yeah,
it's really sweet. Yeah.
That's very good.
Yeah, he's very good. When you aren't making a version of schnitzel, what would you cook for Lenny and I? If we were coming over, we don't need fancy pants. We just want like pure marina.
I would probably cook. Okay, I would want it to be quite. I've got better over the years and not trying to do everything at the last minute and say, no, I must do the souffle, you know, like some sort of horrendous housewife. It's all going to go wrong and whatever. So I would have lots of things on the table. I would do some form of chicken. Maybe I would do like flat iron chicken and hammer it out and do it on the griddle and then have a big plate of all of that and with, you know, lemon and garlic or whatever. And then I'd have lots of salads. And then I would always have to have some form of potatoes and some bread.
Is your husband a journalist?
No, he's not. He works at the BBC, but he's not a journalist. He works on the sort of business side. I really don't. It's a little bit like Chandler and Friends. I don't quite know what he does. Imagine how long we talk about my job every week. What am I gonna write? Yeah, I mean, I'm dimly aware of what he does, and he
he runs the BBC daily.
Did he?
And it's a big opening at the moment for a new person.
You started going out, did he tell you that he read your column?
No, but we've been together forever. It's my 24th wedding anniversary.
Congratulations.
That is a long time.
I worked as a temp. I was a temporary secretary. I mean, actually, I was too bad at typing. My typing speed was too slow. So I was a temporary receptionist when we met. And he did work at some sort of form of financial journalism company. Again, I'm hazy on the details.
But how many years has your column been going now? It's 20.
Well, you know what? It's been a long time that I've... Since 2005, I then had like my... I did the diary column in the paper before in The Guardian.
I've got to ask a really important question. Please. Which football team do you support?
Chelsea.
Oh,
sorry. I know.
Nina.
What can I say?
You
were
doing so well.
Have you heard me talk? I mean... Yeah,
it's funny, my God.
I know it goes... Yeah.
How did Frank Lampard come back? He's the crappiest manager in the whole of the Premier
League. Is he coming back?
He's back at Chelsea.
Because did that just happen? Because the taxi driver said yesterday when I was driving to the theatre, he said, I really want Frank back.
Oh, he can't want
that. Well, he is back temporarily.
Yeah, right.
He won't win in 20 games.
Yeah, for any club. He won't win for any club. Yeah.
Everton are definitely going down because of him.
Yeah.
Ay, ay, ay.
So you support Chelsea. Well, you were always a Chelsea supporter.
Yes.
So where did you grow up?
I grew up in Surrey, or sort of on the Surrey-Sussex borders, in the countryside, with my parents, who are still together and super fantastic. I'm the eldest of 3 girls. So my sisters are still my sort of best friends in the absolute world.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah, they're fantastic. Yeah, so we're all really close. So I was really, really very lucky. But I went to a boarding school.
Did you?
I know, but I loved it, you see.
Oh.
I know. It's very unfashionable to say it, but I absolutely...
What age did you go at?
11. And I absolutely loved it. So
which boarding school?
It's a school called Down House, which is in Berkshire.
And was the food good?
Yeah. Well, do you know, I mean, I think now it would probably be regarded by the standards of probably modern schools as not very good, but it was totally fine. We loved it. And it was a big thing, you know, of course, all the meal times. And we all sat with different ages and you had to have sort of 2 girls from each year on your table. But I loved it. You know, you heard all the grown-up chat. You know, I'm sorry to say, we had an amazing dining room, really old with... all sort of panelled, but then with a gallery all round it and a sort of big, beautiful mural, countryside, sort of like some sort of rural idyll on the back wall. It was very unusual because the school looked quite unusual, sort of halfway between a kind of convent and a prison. But I really liked it. But obviously it's not for everyone, as I've read quite a lot about.
And you've always spoken out. So did you get in trouble at school?
Oh, my God, I was in trouble the whole time. But that's what was so fun, you see. It was sort of war, really. and I loved, you know, you have that independence and you live with all your best friends. And yes, I was always so naughty. My eldest is just the same, unfortunately. Now I'm having to say,
you know, but my parents didn't really boss us around and tell us. I think they regarded the stuff that happened at school, stayed at school. I mean, I hope I wasn't malicious, but yes, I was naughty. But it was such fun, you know, trying to get away with it.
And when you came home, what was the first meal your mum would cook when you said, oh, mum, you know, I really want such and such?
Oh, I can't even remember. She'd make us things. Like, we'd ask her to get things, because I tell you what, my mother hates cooking. She did about 5 dishes in rotation. Okay. And if she listens to this, mummy, I adore you, but you'd be the first to say that it's not your first love. But you know what? So she'd do about 5 dishes in rotation always, but we always talked forever and ever around the table. And sometimes, you know, we'd all bring home 2 friends. So my father would have basically, what does that make? 10 women and him at the table.
Poor son.
I know. But actually, he really liked it. He's very outdoorsy, and people, I think, always thought he wanted boys, but he didn't. He was thrilled to have girls.
And was he quite political?
Well, funnily enough, they were always interested in politics, but his father was an MP, was a Conservative MP, and his father had been Frank Whittle's best friend. Whittle was the guy who invented the jet engine. And when Whittle had invented the jet engine, he started a company with my grandfather started the business for it, which was called Power Jets. And then they tried to get the government interested to fund, and they never really were very interested at all. And so they had a bit of a nightmare. But they kind of, by ingenuity and drive and force of will, obviously created this incredible world-changing invention. Not my grandfather, he did the business bit, but Whittle created this. And then straight after the war, Stafford Cripps nationalised it for the Labour government. And he was really annoyed about that. He felt that, you know, we'd never had any help and it was annoying that their business was nationalised. So he went into politics. But, you know, his greatest friend was like his Labour pair. And it was, I guess it was just a different time in politics, really.
Have you got any political friends?
Not really. No, I haven't. And I'm not friends with any politicians at all. And I refuse. I mean, I don't think probably anyone want to be friends with me.
No, they probably don't.
But I refuse all sort of invitations to drinks and things like that. I've just always felt there was this old Guardian critic right back in the Manchester Guardian days, Neville Cardus, who was brilliant, who said he never wanted to meet any politicians because it would dilute the purity of his hatred. And whilst I know that's quite harsh, isn't it? But I do feel like if I were to have hung out with these people, and I know I'm actually really British, and if I had a drink with them, I would think, oh, that's a bit awkward. I don't think I better say that because I saw them. You know, I don't know. I would just feel like I know I'd pull my punches or I wouldn't maybe, I'm not saying I see straight in the first place. I mean, I'm not trying to claim some great thing for what I write, but I just think I would end up being compromised in some way by myself. I would self-edit.
Which politician has really vied for your friendship? I bet you Rishi Sunak has invited you to something.
No, none of the Tories.
Would Labour invite
they
you
should
to
should be very careful.
No, not really. I tell you what, I mean, actually,
are they
most
scared
of them
protect...
No, I don't. I'm sure not. This is not going to work very well because I'm trying to do a visual impression on a podcast. But there was this one time I did see Boris Johnson at some, I can't remember what it was, and he saw me and he was like pointing from, you know, wherever he was on a stage.
He
was pointing at
you, Marina.
He was pointing at me and going like that, really glowering at me.
Were you thrilled?
No, I wasn't. I just thought, you're such an idiot. This is so uncool. Why don't you just pretend you've never seen it? You know, Orson Welles used to have this person who wrote about him, really mean things about him all the time. Not Walter Winchell, who was a big gossip columnist, but another guy in the New York Daily News who always used to write mean things about him. And Orson Welles used to said, every time I saw him, I greeted him like an old friend, just so he'd never think I'd read a single word he'd written.
And I really think, clever.
Why did Boris Johnson just like act like he'd ever seen any of it? I mean, it was such a show of weakness and smallness. I mean, just be cool. Just be like, really doesn't matter. I'm the Prime Minister and you're some little dick who works for The Guardian. But he really showed I don't know. I thought it was such an odd way of being.
But it means that he reads your
don't know that he reads very much, Jesse, people say.
I think he's one of those people who's got that dangerous thing, which I actually think that King Charles has slightly got as well. Those people who wish they'd been born in another time.
Yes.
And that they've come too late in the arc of history.
And it would have been all right.
If they were mid-century people. Now, Johnson kept thinking, oh, you know, I can't be like Churchill because what are my challenges? But of course, he got this enormous challenge in the shape of the pandemic, which required him essentially to be on the television making a kind of wartime broadcast every night. And look how he handled it. He was found completely wanting. So he actually did have a kind of multi-generational, you know, one of the big challenges of the century in lots of ways. So he had all the opportunity to prove himself. And,
He proved himself in a certain way, didn't he? He proved himself to be what we thought.
Himself with the most able people either, did he?
But I think he was the least able of all of them. Yeah. I mean, really, I really do. He was flattered by them.
Have you had to develop a very thick skin?
No, I don't. No, I don't.
Because do you...
I don't care what anyone says about me.
Oh, really?
Really? Have you never cared about what people say about you?
No, I did before I had children. Now I don't care.
Oh.
Now I don't care because now I've had children and I've actually become much more of a risk taker, and I think anything good that I've ever written and all the other things that I'm doing in life that I think are good has all happened after I've had children. Now, I'm only saying this because I get that lots of people, it feels like it, you know, that their career gets limited after that or whatever. And I'm just saying as a counterweight, because you don't necessarily always hear this, because it made me much more of a risk taker. I also felt like, oh, I mean, honestly, if someone, what if someone says something about you online? I mean, really, who cares?
Yeah, it's true.
Like, you know, this is not the real, my real world is them and my real world is, and it just really, it's a terrible thing to say, to have had three children, to put things into perspective for you. I didn't have them for that reason, but it has been a lovely byproduct. I really feel that. And I feel I've taken so many more risks that I wouldn't have had the confidence to do, because I, in a way, I just didn't mind failing so much because I felt like, oh, I see, you know, these guys are the important thing. So I felt able to fail in a way, or to risk failure in a way that I hadn't before.
Have your editors ever been like, you know what?
You can't put
that
in.
You've taken it too far, Marina.
Oh, no, that quite often they'll query something on taste grounds, at which point I have to say, you know, this is a resigning issue if this is removed, like some actual ridiculous knob gag or something. But just as a point of principle. But if it's quite query on taste...
You don't get legaled.
Oh, as, no, God.
No.
Lenny, I'm never out of legal. Yes,
oh, no, you are. Good. Okay.
Because I remember shout out in my acknowledgements to the Guardian legal department, who I have a very special relationship with. But yes, I do get legal, but I actually don't have much trouble with legal anymore because I have learned over so many years how to get things into the paper rather than have them taken out of the paper. Mm-hmm. So there's always a way that you can kind of slightly tweak it and essentially say to what anyone normal would look like exactly the same thing.
Do you still enjoy your job?
Yes.
Yes, look.
Although I always like to do new things and I'm doing...
So what's new at the moment?
At the moment,
You've got the book.
I'm doing... Yes, I've got the book. I'm doing quite a lot of TV writing. In fact, I've been doing some TV writing for a while.
I can imagine this. This makes sense.
Wow,
so that's bits...
What, like comedy?
Comedy.
Yes!
Sitcom, you know.
Amazing!
And that's been great. You know, that is something that it's been brilliant to do, to be sort of frightened again. And, you know,
can you talk about any of the projects?
I've got one that's sort of coming up. We're about to shoot the, but the writer's strike has made a bit of trouble for it. But we can still do our episode one, which is called The Franchise, which is for HBO. And it's sort of behind the scenes on a superhero franchise movie, which has been
exciting.
I've been in this wonderful writer's room with this incredible show, this guy who's a showrunner called John Brown, who's fantastic, who writes on one of the big writers on Succession and various other things. And I really feel like we've got a hiatus now for our the writer's strike, but I honestly felt like I didn't really feel like I feel like this anymore. Like, I really love these people. There's seven of us and two brilliant writer's assistants, actually, but I feel like we're a little band of brothers and sisters. And I actually didn't think that it was still available to me, that feeling that almost like when you're 17 and you first go on holiday with your friends and you're like, oh my God, I've got this new thing that I'm, you know, it's been so fun. And
exciting.
Even though it's been like, I've sort of had to work two jobs, so I just have to get up so early in the morning, I have to get up at 4 or whatever, but it doesn't matter. But that's
Why?
Okay. Well, because I have to do the Guardian job as well.
Crikey.
But then is this all on Zoom?
No, we do it in a proper room.
Oh. Are they over here or you've been over there?
No, most of us are British. There's two American women who are fantastic. So most of us are British. But okay. So we've done it here and we'll film it at Leavesden.
Do you think you've got a whole series in you for something else that's like a Marina Hyde?
I've got a few deals on other whole series, which I can't talk about those ones. Yes, I've got a few
things. Don't give up The Guardian, though.
Well, no, hopefully I can keep going on all of it. But it's been really good to do something again where I was really sort of frightened again and to feel like, oh, my God, I don't actually know what I'm doing now.
But you are so funny.
No.
Everybody should know how funny you are.
I'd be very disappointed your audience.
Yeah, I'll get some food.
You're gone. You can flirt with Marina a little bit more and I'll get food that way.
Oh, this is so lovely. I was so excited about coming.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Well, whilst Mum is carving the old chicken, let's talk about this Last Supper.
Oh, right, yeah, okay, Last Supper.
Starter, main,
and I think it's
drink.
Pretty, you're going to find it pretty, okay, right. Drink, I am a huge fan of all pre-meal drinks. I really enjoy, really big fan. So I think I would, I mean, I do love a dirty martini, but I think actually for this Last Supper, I would go for a margarita.
Oh.
Yeah. I love a margarita, love a Rita. I do love a dirty martini, very
is that what
dirty.
People call them now. I thought it was margs, but you call them Rita.
No, I just I like that. I don't think any people are doing this, and I don't think it's cool.
Maybe they don't like that.
But I like my dirty martini so dirty that I have to always say, filthy. Can they be filthy? Yeah, yeah, which is.
Do you do vodka or gin?
Gin.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
I do vodka. What gin do you go for?
Oh, I mean, I'm not that fussy. But
do you
if I'm buying them at home, yes.
I hate to say something.
Look at
this is dry.
Oh, shit.
I promise you.
Well, we're blaming Alison.
But she said 2.5 hours, and I took it out after an hour.
Do you want to make a little jus?
There is no jus.
No,
it'll be sensational.
Whatever.
It'll be sensational. I'm so grateful. I do all the cooking, as I say, so this is so nice that someone else is cooking me jus.
So you will make your own dirty martini at home?
Yeah.
I feel like I need to get to that level on like a Friday night when we're lighting the candles for Shabbat that I've learned how to make a dirty martini. I don't know why I'm scared of it. Like vermouth, like...
It's so easy.
Is
and,
it?
And you've got the olives in a jar in your fridge and they, you know, you're going... I'm not using the jar every week, so it's going...
And
I am using it every week, obviously, for dirty martinis, but, you know, you're just working...
What kind of olives do you go for?
I mean, I'm not that fussy. I want it to be in a jar so I can have the juice.
Yeah, and just then, help yourself
before
it dries out. And God.
Thank you for this. It's
this
so wonderful. And then... am I really helping myself?
Yeah.
Honestly, I would get the bottom bit because I think it's a bit dry.
Sorry.
Oh, dear.
Wow. I'm sorry. Okay, so then the starter.
Yeah.
Right, I can't make this myself. Someone's going to have to do this for me. I am about to die, presumably. So it's...
Well, yeah.
Yeah, let's be honest.
Marina, you're dying. Fine. So you
can... It is a tuna carpaccio.
Ooh, lovely.
I'm just not that good with my knife work, so I'm going to have someone do that for me.
Okay.
And my choice of person to do it is whoever does it at La Familia in Chelsea, which is...
Oh, I love La Familia.
It's my birthday on Saturday. We're going there for Sunday lunch because that's what I want.
Is it still going? Yeah. It survived.
The daughter has made it incredible out the back.
Oh, good.
They had a little sort of area that was like a sort of... I mean, I assume just a horrible old...
It was Kylie's favourite.
Now they've made it so nice out the back. It's all sort of Italian families, basically, and us out the back on a Sunday.
Oh, fab. That'll
it's
be
really,
fun.
Yeah, so that'll be nice. Okay, so that I'd get them to do the tuna... thank you. I'd get them to do the tuna carpaccio. Now, for the main course, possibly controversial, but the reason I cook a version of this... as well as schnitzel every single week, is because it is really comforting and I love it. And what's the point of saving it for best the night before you die? I will always have a form of roast chicken every single week. And I think, actually, I can dick around with saying, oh, I'd like someone to flambé this and flambé that. But actually, I think for my last supper, I'd quite like to be comforted.
Delicious.
And I would have a form of roast chicken of one type or another. And then for my pudding, I would have... something like some great blousy thing, like a lemon pavlova. I love a pavlova. Maybe a pavlova meringue, something like that. A thing that's kind of heavy and light at the same time and like a sort of just a confection.
That was very decisive.
Well, okay, but there's a lot of other things I could have as well because I absolutely love food and I live to go.
I do a midweek roast.
Mm. Yeah, I never do it on Sunday.
And I really love it, and the kids love it.
I don't think it is.
No. You're being very, very self-critical.
What do you think,
Jess? I'm saying nothing.
No, it's dry.
It's okay. I'd like to know who would be round your Last Supper, and I'd like to know which politicians you would have around your Last Supper.
If I had to have them?
Yeah.
I think I'd have to be delving back in history,
You'll
don't
have
you?
To know.
I think I'd be on, you know, sort of Thomas Cromwell and Bismarck and those guys, wouldn't I? I think, you know, Emmeline Pankhurst. I think we'd have to be going back in history. I'm really sorry because it's really horrible when people say, you know, do you see anyone among politicians at the moment to give us hope? And it feels so negative to say, well, I'm sorry, I don't really. Probably there's some fantastic people on the backbenches who haven't sort of surfaced into our public consciousness yet, and maybe they're wonderful.
There's no Tories left.
But I have to say that I think it's, consequently as well, I think none of the big ideas are happening in politics. All the big ideas are happening in things like international aid, and really the voluntary sector is incredible dealing with some of these enormous challenges that the state has kind of failed.
Mm-hmm.
Tech, obviously. All these big ideas are happening somewhere other than politics. Mm. So
Ed Miliband.
So do you think it would be like tech leaders leading the world soon and going into politics? Do you think?
No, I'll tell you what, I think they already do in lots of ways.
Mm-hmm.
I think that they would see the sort of, a bit like Murdoch really, has always seen prime ministers as sort of junior personnel. And I do think that Mark Zuckerberg for a long time was thinking, I'll run to be president. And he even went on some hilarious, like, I will be doing a listening tour in Iowa, Pennsylvania. I was like, what? Okay, are you running for president? He went and sort of stood at truck stops. And I think after, and people were like, okay, he's definitely running at some point, even if it's in whenever it was. And then I think he just thought, why would I do this? Right. I mean, I'm so much more important than, you know, President of the United States.
We've had a really weird email. Shout out to Jenny. This one's for you.
I've got to speak with my mouth full. And chew.
Someone's written to us to say they love us speaking with our mouths full. It
kind of
turns her on.
I've got some
exciting.
Of this.
Exciting.
Oh, it came from Jenny, who's Australian. I didn't think that. And she
say, this would have been fine if it wasn't spatchcock. If it had been a whole chicken and kept the moisture in.
Can I just say to your listeners, this is so much more than fine. This is absolutely
It's really
delicious.
Yummy.
You'd be thrilled to have this on
delicious.
A Tuesday night. Anyway.
It's actually very tasty.
It's delicious.
So have you had many kitchen disasters?
Not really. Now, I taught myself to cook because I didn't have it from...
Because your mother wasn't...
My mother wasn't totally interested in cooking. So I taught myself to cook really sort of late, I suppose. I suppose I started in my early 30s.
Mm-hmm.
Or I had done it a bit before, but I really taught myself. And now I cook every night and I really think about it all the time, and it's a big part of everything. I set a hell of a lot of alarms on my phone. Because I that is my disaster area, thinking there's no possible way I could speak. In 12 minutes, I won't remember to take these biscuits out. But unless I set an alarm on my phone, believe me, they will be destroyed. So things like that, I have to, thanks to the development of the iPhone, I have managed to avoid.
Do you bake a lot?
Yes, I do. I bake a lot and I do it all a lot, I suppose. I don't make my own bread. I always feel, I have done it, but I always feel slightly weirdly considering... I will do quite complicated things.
Yeah.
By this humble thing, I feel quite intimidated by it.
Me too.
I wonder why. Do you?
You know what my friend said? She was going to do... she was going to get a bread maker because her sisters have bread makers. And so they have fresh bread every day.
Yeah. That's the last thing I need.
Yeah. But she says it's
Look,
really
some
good.
Some more chicken. Marina, help yourself.
And she says it's really good, but I'm like, is it going to be a bit like the air fryer? Is it just going to sit on the side and gather the dust?
I'd like an air fryer. Have you got an air fryer?
No, I'm sworn against big things on the side, unless they really sing for their supper.
You know what? It was a bit dry, but it was very tasty.
I don't think...
It had a kind of Portuguese piri-piri thing about it, even though it wasn't spicy.
There was hot paprika, smoked paprika, I put three garlics grated, olive oil...
Mm-hmm.
Pepper
mm-hmm.
and fennel seeds that I ground up. The thing is that we've done the slow roast, the other one. Jesse, we've done this one with tomato and oregano, and
that
just shove
good.
It all in.
For 2.5 hours.
Two and a half hours.
Is it spatchcocked?
No.
No, don't worry.
It was whole, and it's delicious.
It's really good.
I might have to take the recipe off
really
that
good.
One. Can you give me the recipe of that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay, Mum, what have we got? I think that you're going to retrieve... You're
going
to redeem yourself now. This is Nigella chocolate and olive oil. It's moist in the wise words.
Oh, is this the
words.
Chocolate olive oil?
Yeah.
I've really wanted to try this and I haven't tried it. I've got the book.
Yeah, as Rick Astley would say, it's moist, and he would like that very much.
More spoons. Hold on Thank a sec. So that's much. Your spoon.
Oh, it looks fab. So it's that. It
chocolate
looks...
and olive oil cake with raspberries. You've got some ice Kelly's ice cream, or you've got some cream, or you've got sour cream. What are you going to go for?
It's tough, actually.
You can have a bit of both.
Everything. I can have a bit of everything, can't I? I'll tell you what, maybe I'll try the thing first and then and decide what I most needs. Want to yeah. go with it, if that's not very rude.
Yeah, yeah, no, it's not rude.
Mr. Kelly, we love Kelly's ice cream because when I was a child in Cornwall... Sorry, I just used my hands. Is that so rude.
No, but you grew up in...
We always went on our summer holiday for 2 weeks to Cornwall, to a place called Harlyn Bay. And Mr. Kelly's van was on the beach.
Oh, wow.
And in the afternoon, we were all allowed at Mr. Kelly's. And so I've got a real... crush on Mr. Kelly, basically, because of that.
Oh, don't tell me you're going to tell me this is no good.
No, it's
now.
Like a sexy... It's like a sexy... What are those...
I love it.
Those cakes that you can get make in a pack. What are they called? Like the devil fudge
Betty
cake.
Betty Crocker.
It's like a sexy Betty Crocker.
Fuck off.
Is it? That's not a bad thing.
What do you mean it's not a bad thing? This was made from scratch, you fool.
I'm saying it's a sexy Betty Crocker.
Oh, my God.
See what you... you'll see what I mean.
I've had it, yeah. It's made with ground almonds. Mm.
Sexy Betty Crocker.
Betty Crocker's never seen an almond in her life. She's an ultra high process.
I do know what you mean, slightly.
Oh, thank you!
Who wants some more Betty Crocker?
I bet, it was really delicious. I loved it, but I don't actually...
Do you know it's only made with cocoa?
Oh, no, it's amazing, isn't it? It's like a strange alchemy.
How much sugar? Not olive oil.
How much sugar?
Not that much.
So it's actually good for us.
It's not that overly sweet. No.
It's not that overly sweet.
It's really lovely. I absolutely love it.
Will you take it home for Sam, please?
Yeah. We've talked about Mr. Kelly on the Cornish beaches, but is there another nostalgic taste that can transport you somewhere?
Oh my gosh, well, I'm afraid it's, for me, it's so many of those weird, like, sweets, penny sweets, all of those, everything, toffee bombers, oh my God, lemon sherbets. My children, if we ever go to some little town now, my children will smell out an old-fashioned sweet shop from a million miles, and I'm like, can we go? Oh, of course we can go. Uh-huh. I'm literally just trying to get there as quick as possible. I love all those, the chocolate limes, any of those sweets, they're so... God, they can take me back anywhere. Although another thing that every time I smell it, when you get an English strawberry, the British strawberry at the start of the season.
Yeah, and they're really delicious.
And I'm always right back in a pick your own with my mother on my knees in the straw when we were all little.
Eating more than you put in the basket.
Yeah, eating more than you put in.
And you've got juice dripping down your mouth.
Yeah, if you smell one of those, then I'm just back in those fields on my knees in the straw, always.
You are good, Marina. Every answer you've given us, you've delivered.
I don't think I have.
You absolutely have. And you're... warm and fabulous and brilliant, and we're so thrilled to have you on today.
Oh, guys, thanks so much and, for having me.
I can't wait to watch the TV shows that you will be putting out.
I wouldn't go that far, just
do you think you'd like to have dinner with Gwyneth Paltrow?
Oh, God, yeah. Listen,
with
I tell you
what, candles burning in the background.
Yeah, the funny one. Yeah, absolutely. Listen, I will tell you that one of the great things about being a sort of a writer is that you get this kind of get out of jail free thing to behave, just go anywhere and say, oh, I had to see what it was like, you know. I don't really turn anything down on principle at all. In fact, many of my greatest regrets in life are things I've turned down on principle.
Did you start your journalism at The Sun?
Yes, but I was the secretary. I was the receptionist.
I
was completely by accident that I've ever become a journalist. But looking back, like lots of things in life, it
makes
sense.
What did you think you were going to be? Because Jessie thought she was going to be a journalist.
I didn't know, I'm afraid to say. I tell you what I did think I was going to be, which is that until I was 18, I wanted to go into politics. I wanted to be the Prime Minister. I wanted to go into politics. And when I got to university, I went to Oxford and I thought, oh, this thing, the Oxford Union, everybody joins and they all, you know, this is a big political thing.
This
it'd be really interesting.
Of it, yes.
Yeah, it'd be really interesting. And I went to the Freshers' Fair and you could sign up for 1 year or for 3 years. Yeah, obviously I signed up for 3 years, gave all my money away. And when I got into it, I just thought, oh my God. I mean, immediately from the very first time I attended, I was like, oh my gosh, every scale fell from my eyes. And I thought, this is what people in politics are like. And I knew immediately that I didn't like have a bad crop or whatever or whatever. It was just like, I hadn't fully understood what it would be
like. You are political. And
Yeah, so I'm interested. But then immediately I had absolutely no interest in it, killed all of it. And I mean, actually, some of these people...
Was
I think
it a boys'
the same
club?
Age as... No, I mean, there were people like Liz... She was in it.
Oh, my God. Yeah. Not the same year as you?
Yes, but
oh
I mean,
God.
I, you know, I saw these people twice in my life and then just thought, this is just... And only the second time because I paid
but
3 years
of money.
But
she was left-wing then, wasn't she?
She was in the Liberal Democrats. I mean, I don't really know. I think they just had the politics of getting ahead, if I'm really honest. Yeah. I don't think they were any positions were, as you can see. I think they were rather lightly held.
Did you ever go to house parties with Liz Truss?
No. No, although, funnily enough, someone told me... Someone, a friend of mine who was at Cambridge, Kwasi Kwarteng was a friend of theirs, and he'd come round to their house and one time, and he went to a student party at their house when he was a student, and he stayed on their sofa and he vomited all over their sofa. And do you know what he did in the morning?
What?
He simply got up
and walked away.
Of course he fucking did.
And I feel in many ways we all still live in that sofa, don't we? Right now.
Yes.
Metaphorically.
He vomited and walked away.
After what he did last year. Do we not all at some
I agree with you.
Level live down the crack down that sofa?
Marina Hyde, thank you so much for joining us and just being...
Sorry about the dried chicken.
It was absolutely...
She's thrilled.
She might write a column.
And she may be a bit pissed now because...
She might write a column tomorrow about
my
dried chicken.
Oh my God.
It would only be a hymn to you both.
Okay, thank you.
I can't thank you enough for having me. It's such a joy.
I felt like that was a really good one, Mum.
To have stayed for a week.
The picture that I've got of you is like the look of love with you two. She's looking at you like she's so proud to gossip with you. So proud that you're her new friend.
I loved her.
Did it?
She was better than expectation.
Better.
Except for one thing.
What?
Chelsea.
It's nightmare.
It's not you, Marina.
Yeah, it is a nightmare.
That was the only thing that let her down.
I really, really enjoyed having Marina Hyde over. I think she's fantastic. I think that everyone should read her words, her book.
But I can't wait for the TV. She's so witty. The new TV shows are going to be fantastic.
Marina Hyde's What Just Happened is out now in paperback. It's also in hardback. It's Dispatches from Turbulent Times. Thank you for getting us through it with your wit and words, Marina.
Oh, what was that?
That was the chair, but
oh,
it sounded
God,
like
I thought
that.
You had wind.
No.
Christ. I thought she's let herself go.
Oh, God.
I'm sorry it was Betty Crocker.
No, it was nice. It was
actually,
really nice.
Anne's didn't taste like that yesterday. Hers was more dense. That was quite light, wasn't it? I thought it was delicious. No butter, no dairy.
No dairy, dairy-free.
No dairy and no gluten.
That is a great thing for people that are dairy-free and gluten-free. I'm neither
Next
of those
time.
Things, Mother.
Good, thank God for that.
Yep. Thank you for listening. Jenny, I hope that satisfied you with the eating with the mouth.
Masticating.
And please, listeners, please send your complaints about mouths being full at hello@tablemannerspodcast.com. We'd love to hear from you. Thank you so much for listening, and we will see you next week.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up Quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's Quince.com/upgrade.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.